It's a gospel on the radio talk show. A show about dreams and visions and a church that is indeed triumphant, alive, and well.
For the church, triumphant, is alive and well.
Hello, Tallahassee. This is the Gospel on the Radio talk show. I am Pastor Jack King. I am your host. And as always, just excited to spend a little time with you on a Sunday morning here on 94.1 on your radio dial. As I say, this is a show about dreams and visions and a church triumphant, alive and well. We talk about the church and all the things that God is doing in His glorious kingdom. Show number 1171 today. We have four rules. We don't talk sports, politics, or doctrine. But we always speak well of one another. And one of the things that I really enjoy on this show is having return guests. People, they come back. Chevelle Briggins, how'd I do?
Real good. How are you doing, Pastor Jack?
He is the executive director of Good News Outreach here in Tallahassee.
Yes.
And I think you're the third one who has been the directors of the Good News Outreach that's been here on the show. And
sounds
I always
good.
Appreciate y'all coming. Giving us an update.
Yes.
Tell us what's going on in your work and ministry and your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You just told me a few minutes ago that you all have relocated since, I think, the last time you were on the show.
We really have. We moved our food pantry and some of our administrative office from 548 Bradford, and we're so thankful to Echo for allowing us to
be. Are they still there?
Echo is still there.
Okay. Okay.
And matter of fact, we still have a partnership with them. They still provide services to some of our to some of the people we serve.
I thought that was a wonderful thing that you all were working together like that. Because your ministries are very similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Very similar, and they offer some services that we don't.
Okay.
And the services that we don't offer, the people we serve need those particular services. So it's a good partnership.
Now, how old is Good News Outreach? Do you know?
Good News Outreach began in 1986. It started in Frenchtown. So, ironically, we moved everything from Bradford Avenue over to our main campus, which is in Frenchtown.
Right.
So, we started in Frenchtown in 1986. I guess we've gone full circle.
You're going home.
Yeah, gone full circle. Yeah. So, that's our main campus. And then we have two other campuses. We have one on the northeast side of town. That's our Mercy House program for men. And then we have the affordable housing program on the northwest side of town on Bicycle Road. Matter of fact, it's a stone throw away from one of our partner churches, Generation Church.
Okay. Now, in the beginning, when they first started, what was the focus at that point? Do you remember?
There were four men involved with Bible study. They were doing a Bible study, and they were studying the Beatitudes, and they said, we need to feed people. So we've had the food pantry. Matter of fact, our food pantry is now located over there, 606 West 4th Avenue, in our main campus location. We have a 1,200-square-foot facility there. We have a partnership with Second Harvest.
Now, when you say feeding, and there's two different ways you look at it,
right?
Where you sit down and you cook meals, and then there's other ministries where they're distributing just food.
So we distribute from our food pantry. We don't cook the meals.
Okay.
So we receive food items from sometimes various sources, and maybe a few stores in town. Stores will donate, but we are a Second Harvest certified Second Harvest food distributor. So we get our food from Second Harvest.
Right.
And we've done a few things since the last time I've been on the show. We were looking for and hoping and praying for internal cooling refrigeration bot. So that is now operable.
Really?
So now we could take produce
and milk and stuff like that.
And milk.
Yeah.
And now we can really store. I mean, we had some, but now we have a walk-in.
Wow.
So we're thankful for that and thankful to Second Harvest. And we're working on putting in food lockers in the parking lot. So, we're open at a certain time. So we're open on Wednesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then we're open again on Wednesday evening.
Explain this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm envisioning something like a locker where you go and there's a combination. You open up and there's food. Is that what?
You know what? I equate it to Little Caesars because you receive a code.
Yeah.
And you go in, you punch your code in, it opens up, you get your food. Right? Because so if we're open from 9 to 2 and you work 8 to 5.
Yeah.
Can't get to us. If you're doing something in the evening, you can't get to us on Wednesday. The whole idea is that now that food will be in there and you will be able to get that food. We'll, you know, you might have 24 to 48 hours. You just drive in, put your code in, get your food. And we will know that through the system.
Now,
that
who came up with this idea?
Well, you know, food lockers have been out for maybe a few years.
Really?
But Second Harvest came to us and asked us, would we be interested?
Okay.
And they told us that if we did it, we would be the first nonprofit organization in Southeast USA to have a food locker. They have them on some of the schools, some of your state facilities, you know, your like departments of whatever, but there had not been one on a nonprofit, on a nonprofit campus.
It is such a neat idea.
It really is.
Who provided the locker? Did they provide?
So we're working on that project. We're in the middle of working on that project. You know, you got to do the electrical work, concrete work. You know, there's some permitting that must occur. And so we're working with Second Harvest, to have that, place there. And I think it's just going to be great because the food, you can get it at 3 a.m. in the morning if you want to.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about whether we're open or not. You have your code, use your code. Now your code will expire, but you use your code and get the food and drive in, get your food and drive out.
So as of right now, it's not ready yet.
It's not ready yet.
It's coming.
It's coming though.
Wow.
It's coming. Yes. We got the refrigerator, the walk-in refrigerator, unit, and we're working on that particular project.
So now, right now, are you feeding every day?
We feed Wednesdays and Thursdays, nine to two.
Okay, 9 to 2.
And then Wednesday evenings, we just started that. Matter of fact, this month, Wednesday evenings from 5:30 to 7:30 at 606 West 4th Avenue.
So what's happening is people are, they're walking up, they're driving up, or what?
They will. Both. We get foot traffic and we get car traffic.
Okay. But now somebody is having to go in there and I guess you're putting it in bags.
We bag up the food, correct.
So in other words, when they come in, whatever you put in that bag is what they're going to get.
They can get, yes, so they'll get food from the bag and then often we'll have certain items on the table and we'll say you could take 2 or 3
okay
items from that table. Because, you know, each week, now while we will order food, we don't know exactly what we'll get.
Right. I'm familiar with that from my friend.
Right. Yeah. Right. And sometimes it's like, oh my goodness, we have all this milk. Oh my goodness, we have, you know, like 30 boxes of squash.
Right.
And that happens.
Yeah.
And we know we have a process, what we will do. And we, you know, you have to begin thinking about how long will it last. Now that we have the refrigeration, a lot of those items that would perish, now we can,
right.
You know, we can have them be maintained for a little longer time.
I know my friend, he'll bring sometimes food to a men's retreat or a camp, and he'll bring some of the oddest things because I guess they get it, you know, and they just give it away. They say, just take that. That's what he says a lot of times. He says, as he's leaving, he says, here, take some of these.
Right. and I have to send out blast emails, and I'll send the blast email. I said, if we don't get rid of it, we're going to have to dispose of it.
Yeah, right.
You know, but now, like I said, refrigeration, you know, certain items will only last a certain amount of time.
Right.
And the response we get, I love that, or I was thinking about making that, or our church can use that. Sometimes I'll just start calling churches because I know they will feed them. Look, we have this. And I know you feed and you're going to do so. Oh, yes, we'll be able to do that.
Right.
You're going to have a long table or a round table. And so, you know, when you have an abundance of the overflow, you know, you still want the community to be served.
But now, are you able to minister the gospel too? Because I know people are coming and you have your team there.
Right.
Do you get a chance to just talk to them?
You know, we talk to people. And it, you know, it's done in a way, I think sort of like Jesus would. I mean, when we think about how, you know, the people that he encountered, you know, he wasn't necessarily quoting scriptures, but he showed them that love and he talked to them and he showed that, you know, gave them that encouragement. And that's really our, you know, and that's our motto. And that's, that's what we do. You know, and sometimes they need other services. They might need health services. So we have someone who can provide like Medicare health services. And now we have a partnership with Capital Region Career Source. So if they need, they might say, you know what? I need counseling for my child. Now we can put the referral in, put their name in, and it will go to all the other organizations. There are about 60 or so organizations, and we can put that information in there, and then they will get a phone call from
them. Because that's the full thrust of your ministry, not just to feed people. You're here to minister to the person, body, soul, spirit.
Right.
And when you feed somebody, then lots of times they'll open up and give you permission to be able to speak into their lives.
Right.
Because they see that you're there genuine with a concern to help.
Yes.
That's what you want to do.
Yeah. And, you know, when we think about, you know, in biblical days and we read the, you know, we read various accounts, a lot of ministry took place around
food.
The food or, you know, what we would today call the dinner table.
It still does.
And still does.
And most
so food. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the whole, that concept about the dinner church.
Right.
And so it's around the food. Because that's something we there's just certain things we have in common, and food is one of them.
That's the old expression, breaking bread together.
Breaking bread together, correct.
Now let's get to know you just a little bit. Now, you, I can say, how long have you been the director now of this?
I've been the director close to 2 years.
Yeah. How did you end up in this position?
How did I end up in this position? Well, I'm originally from Ohio.
Okay.
I've lived in, this is my fourth state, so I've lived in Ohio, Michigan, Arizona. In Florida. I've been in Tallahassee 10 years.
So you went north, then you went west.
I was born and bred, raised, educated in the north, in the Midwest, went west. My mama's from Arizona.
Really?
She was born in Arizona and raised there. And then came back to Michigan and then came down here to Florida. Ironically, I had been to all of the major cities in Florida, except for Tallahassee.
Really?
So I've been to Pensacola, Panama City, Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa, Miami. I have not been to the Keys yet, but I'm going there in September.
Were you living in these different places?
No, I just visited. Yeah. I got to Jacksonville the first time because when I got ordained, I had to come to the national. You get ordained at the national conference and the convention happened to be in Jacksonville that particular year. And then so I got down here and then eventually I've worked in education and with nonprofits and then eventually made my way over to Good News Outreach.
Now you are a PK.
I am the oldest of three Church of God in Christ Pentecostal pastor kids. I am. My dad started preaching at 13.
Really?
He started preaching at 13.
But have you ever pastored?
I have. I tell people I've done everything in a church except for be a, I didn't do AV. You don't want me to do that. That is not my ministry. I can't do that.
Help me out here. AV.
Audio visual.
Okay.
So I can't do that. Church I grew up in, only women were allowed to be missionaries. So I've never been a missionary.
whoa, back up. only women were allowed to be
only missionary. The women were allowed to be entitled a missionary. Men weren't missionaries.
Okay, now when I think of missionaries, I think about going overseas.
You think of going overseas.
Right.
So people may go overseas, but they would never consider them, the males weren't considered missionary.
Huh.
Yeah, it's, you know, a different.
This is just something mindset. In that particular organization.
Yeah, just with that particular denomination.
I've never heard that before.
I've never been an usher.
Usually, it's the other way around.
The way around.
Yeah, generally.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are some organizations that don't believe the women should preach and that type of thing.
You know, I mean, it's just the way that it was, even though
I've never. That's a new one, over.
Right. I mean, Paul's the greatest missionary we usually read about, right? So.
and you're also a musician.
I'm a musician. Yeah. I started playing drums at 3. Started taking piano lessons at 4. Mama said at the age of 10 that if I didn't play for church service, not just do a song here and there, I was already doing that. If I didn't play for church service, I didn't get to play sports. Oh. So that was my trade-off.
Wow.
In order for me to play sports, I had to play church service at the age of 10.
The more you tell me about your mama, the more I like her.
See? Yeah, all 5'3" of her.
So did you get training, or are you one of those people that just picked it up?
Both. So I took piano lessons for about 6-7 years, and ironically, my mom was the one who helped develop my ear. So if I was sitting down playing at home and she would be in the kitchen, she would yell, because she was a singer and a drummer, she said, "It don't go like that. It was supposed to go." And she would tell me how it was supposed to go. And then I would find it. I'm like, okay. So she helped develop my ear.
What was her background? Had she ever been
trained? She was a drummer.
Had she been trained, or did she just?
No, she was a drummer. Everybody in my family plays an instrument except for my brother.
So that's just a musical.
But they all sing. Right. They all sing, and I'm the worst singer in the family.
No. You can't be.
Oh, yes.
Not with that bass voice.
No. I'm the only one who can sing the bass line in my family, but I am the worst singer in my family. Oh.
But do you ever just sing bass? I mean.
Oh, yeah. I'll lead songs, and then, you know, if I'm singing backup, I sing the bass line. But in my family, no, I can't touch my brother, my sister, and my dad and mom.
Really?
Can't.
Because I can see you playing, singing in a quartet.
Mm-hmm. I can carry the bass line, and I can lead the songs, but if you throw me in with my family, they're much better singers than I will ever be.
But you're the piano player.
But I'm the musician in the family.
Right.
You know, now, I mean, I'm the best musician in the family.
And the organ. And you told me the organ was
the Hammond organ is that's my main instrument.
But now, what do you do with so many churches are getting away from the organ?
Cry. I see a keyboard, and that happens often when you go to a church. You're like,
"Yeah,
oh, they have a keyboard." You know, now the church I play at now, they have an organ.
Yeah.
And the pastor asked me, one of the things he asked me when we were talking, he said, "Do you prefer the keyboards or organ?" And I said, "The organ." He goes, "Yes, my man."
Yeah. Well, I know in our church here where we're meeting, when mm-hmm. we used to meet here, we had an organ and a piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I loved it. But the church says leasing it. They didn't want to have it, so we didn't have to give that organ away, and mm-hmm. I hated that.
Yeah.
Now, we had a baby grand, and they wanted to get rid of it. I says no, so we took it over to our storefront building.
Yeah.
We don't have nobody to play it.
Right.
And so if you know a piano player, call me.
Oh, okay.
We have a wonderful lady who plays the guitar and mm-hmm. leads us, and she's very good, and mm-hmm. we just love her and appreciate her.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, having a piano backing her up would hurt. You know? Yeah.
Well, you know, and I think when you start talking about that how things in our community impacts ministry and churches, you don't have people taking music lessons anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I tell people I have three other brothers who didn't live in my house, right, from childhood. All of us played an instrument. All of us played a sport.
Huh. But so, now, did somebody in your family encourage you to start taking music lessons? Or did you just?
I started playing drums because I like playing the drums. Then I wanted to play the piano. And I said, okay, well, you know.
So you just had the interest.
Mm-hmm. I had the interest.
And you just followed mm-hmm. through on it.
And my sister had the interest. My brother does not play an instrument.
Uh-huh.
He's the only one, but he's the baby in the family too.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is that you're right. We need Christian young people to learn mm-hmm. how to play the piano and other instruments
mm-hmm.
in our church services because we're many of the generation that, well, for instance, in my church at one time I had 11 pianists.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have none.
Right, you have none. Yeah. You have more guitar players, bass players, drummers, but even they are not getting the lessons. And, you know, you look at your marching bands in high school, junior high, they don't even have it in high school, and it's dwindling. So when that is dwindling, then your pool of musicians is also dwindling.
I remember when it began to change from the piano to mm-hmm. the keyboard. This is in the 90s, I guess, mm-hmm. in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to do an event called Sunfest, which is a big youth conference we used to do, and we would have competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would always have to rent a piano
mm-hmm.
for the young people to play.
Mm-hmm.
But then keyboards were coming in and the kids were bringing their keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened, probably the last time I rented a piano,
mm-hmm.
I rented a thing, I think we were in Melbourne,
mm-hmm.
and I had rented it, and then we had Saturday morning, we had music stuff, and then we took a break in the afternoons, and we come back in the evening. When I come back in the evening, that piano was gone.
Right.
And here, I mean, I'd rented this piano, and I'm going, what has happened to this piano? I am responsible for this piano. And I asked people at the hotel. They said, well, some guy came and got it.
Right.
But I had no idea. It was the people who owned the piano. They had their wires crossed. They weren't supposed to come and get that piano until Monday, but they came and got it on, actually Sunday, but they were closed on Sunday. So they came on Saturday afternoon and got that piano. Mm-hmm. Man, I am telling you what, I was stressed until finally on Monday when I called these people. I said, did you please tell me you got that piano? But that was the last time. And then after that, it's just been keyboards for that for the rest of probably the last 5 years that I worked in that youth ministry.
Oh yeah,
they started having
everything keyboards. Everything was keyboard, and a lot of things changed in the music ministry. You know, that's one of the changes. In some churches, you may not see choirs anymore. You see more of like a praise team, so it's a smaller group.
Right.
I was talking with another musician, matter of fact, yesterday, and I talked about you don't have multiple strong voices or people who are able to sing anymore. And he's an actual music teacher in town. He said, when the music changed, and he said, so young people don't sing anymore.
Huh.
They rap.
Okay.
So if you're not singing, you're not developing your voice. He said, that's why like spoken word is now more common. And he said, because that has happened. So now we're not singing. So the voices aren't as strong. And he said, so when things occur in the community, there is an impact.
But is this in the Coptic church, which is Church of God in Christ?
Church of God in Christ, right.
Church. Is it that way too? The word not having the choirs? Cause they've always been known for the choirs.
You're seeing churches, who have, they'll more praise teams.
Really?
Yes. And matter of fact,
I'm surprised at that.
I mean, you might still find one, but usually you'll find one when multiple churches have to come together. But if you go to one particular church, you will still see more praise teams than choirs. And now that the younger generation, right? Now they're the ones that are sweating out their clothes, playing and singing. They didn't necessarily grow up. They sing, may sing some of the same songs, but it's a smaller choral group.
Do they still have their choir conventions and stuff? Because that used to be a big thing.
No.
I'm amazed at that.
Yeah. And so it's smaller, a lot more praise teams. And there are people who are icons, if you will. And they will, and so they're choir directors, and so they're more focused on choirs. And one gentleman received a lifetime music award. Ricky Dillard is his name, the Reverend Dr. Ricky Dillard. And he said, I'm not saying get rid of praise team. He said, what I'm saying is don't forget the choir. Well, it's like you can have both.
This really disappoints me to hear this, because I've always imagined, like I passed by one of your churches down here on was it Brevard Street there, and was it Watson Temple?
Watson Temple.
Yeah.
Yes.
And every time I go by there, I can hear. I just imagine it, because I know that they've been really strong in your churches, and I'm surprised down here. This is happening so much in the Anglican Church that I was thinking, well, I didn't think it would be happening in the Coptic, because everything I've known about these churches, man, these big choirs, and I mean, I'm talking about choirs that get with it now.
Right. And they might be 20, 30, 40, 50 strong.
Really?
Still?
Not anymore.
And they might call themselves a choir, and you're like, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, that's a large praise team, basically.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, the world has changed and it's evolved.
The culture where we are.
Honestly, I don't like playing keyboard. And I've gotten to where I just tell people, I don't like playing keyboards. I'm not a, because I played the organ more than I played the keys, and there's more I can do with the organ.
But you play for two or three different churches.
I play for one church.
For one now. Right. Okay.
Yes.
I thought,
I go to a 7:30 service to attend a church.
That's your worship service.
That's yeah.
your,
and okay. then I go to 11 o'clock service, and I play at 11 o'clock.
But what are you playing there, the piano or the organ?
Organ. Organ. Okay.
So this church still has an organ.
They still have an organ. Matter of fact, that's what the pastor asked me. He said, do you prefer the piano or the keyboard organ? I said, oh, no, I don't like the keyboard. And he started laughing. I said, I'm an organist.
I may just have to surprise you Sunday morning and just show
I'm
up.
Like, I'm an organist.
I like to hear that organ.
And sometimes, you know, there are a few people like, well, you know, that song sounds better on the keyboard. You know, it's like, hey, then you play it
to my radio audience here. Sometimes I get off track. The Good News Outreach is the name of the minister.
Yes,
Javale Briggins.
Yes, sir.
He is the executive director there.
Yes,
and we're gonna come back in a few minutes and get talking about. We need to talk about some of your housing and things, yep. things that you do.
Yes,
we'll get it. But I thought this was a good conversation because this music thing. You know, it's funny. A lot of the hymns and stuff, mm-hmm. I'm sure at one time were controversial because a lot of those came out of the taverns mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, music has always been involving in mm-hmm. church mm-hmm. from the very, very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of music, you know me. I love Southern gospel music and I always play it. At least one song here on the talk show.
I'm standing on the promises of God.
Mark Trammell Quartet. Now, Brother Briggins.
Yes, sir.
Now, what do you think about my music here?
You know, for me, I'm a lover of instruments and uh-huh. music, but it's the words.
Right.
You know, for me. So, so as I listen, I think, okay, applying that, and what does that really mean? That's how I listen to music, and then I hear all the instruments, and you know, you hear the harmony. So
well, we are so I'm much good. Alike in that.
Really I'm is. Good with that
because you know I do this show called the Saturday Night Gospel Sing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making the announcement too because the music the audience knows this, but mm-hmm. maybe you knew and you never heard this. That's a show I do on Saturday nights on 94.1, and I talk about this as I'm going through the songs. Brother Doug Apple, the manager of 94.1 and also my producer, he says I mellow out as the show goes on because the words of some of these gospel songs, I mean, mm-hmm. if it's a really good gospel song, it's got some words.
Mm-hmm.
Like this song here, he's still standing after the storm.
And right.
It's talking about the cold and angry waves he's talking about. We all go through these things in life.
We do.
Yeah. But you hear these type of songs, they speak to your heart. Mm-hmm. And I'm like you. I like the instruments. I played a song for the Saturday Night Gospel Sing that will, let's see, it's the one that will, no, it aired last week. And after it was over, I told him, man, I don't know what he was playing, but I sure did like it. I mean, I don't know what all that's, I don't know what all kind of instruments it was. Mm-hmm. I think there was a banjo in there somewhere.
Okay.
But I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But it works for me.
Right.
Now,
right.
There's some music that does not work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, and then I tell people on my music show, the criteria for a song to get played on my show is mm-hmm. that Pastor King's got to like it. If I like it, I play it. If I don't like it, I don't play it. You are tuned to the Gospel on the Radio talk show. I'm Pastor Jack King. I get to do this every week. And, we also want to remind you that I'm a pastor. I pastor a church called Freedom Road. It's Freedom Road Christian Ministry. We're at 720 Capitol Circle Northeast in the Crescent Park Plaza. We are between Easterwood Drive and Park Avenue. So if you're on Capitol Circle Northeast and you're heading toward Park Avenue, look on the right-hand side of the road. You'll see our sign there, Freedom Road Christian Ministry, 1105. We start on Sunday mornings. Also, FRCM.us. You can find us on the web, and we are changing our website. We're working on it. It's going to look so good when it's done. This has been a long time coming. you know how it is with websites and churches. Well, Brother So-and-so is going to do it.
Right.
And then he gets about halfway, and then he done lost his way and lost his interest in the whole thing. And then it just kind of sits there like that for a year or so.
Right.
Until Sister So-and-so is going to give it a shot. So now we've hired a professional.
Right.
And
right.
It's going to get done this time.
That's
but
right.
But something else I learned in the process is that I really can't hire somebody else really to do our website. They may be able to do the you know, push the buttons and all that kind of stuff. But they got to, it's got to come from me, really, mm-hmm. to be able to tell people about our church, mm-hmm. our ministry. We got to do it ourselves.
Yes.
And then get a professional to make it look good. That's right. what we're doing.
Right.
I spent several hours mm-hmm. just sitting down, thinking out who we are, what we are, what do we want to display. So anyway, mm-hmm. FRCM.us. Don't go there right now. Give it a month or so. Now, good news outreach. I feel like I have something else I need to tell. Oh, my daily broadcast, Monday through Friday here on 94.1, 11 o'clock. Good news outreach. You feed people.
And we deliver food to seniors.
Okay. But mm-hmm. you also, you house people.
We do. We do.
How does that work?
So, when I go out and speak, I said we have basically three main components: food, housing, and reentry. So I'll talk about the housing now. We have seven 2-bedroom units for seniors. It's permanent housing for seniors, 55 and older.
Okay.
That is also on our 4th Avenue main campus. So the food pantry's there, admin offices. Seven units for seniors, 2 bedrooms. So we house them. And then we have affordable housing for family units out on Bicycle Road, which, like I said, is a stone throw away from Generations Church.
Yeah.
And we have about 5.5 acres of land. We have about 47, 48 2-bedroom or 3-bedroom mobile manufactured units available out there. Matter of fact, there's some major redevelopment, some construction that's been going on. We are currently involved in a 4-phase project. We began like the summer of last year, and it should end summer, fall of last year, and we should be done probably in the next several months. So we're doing everything from new ramps, stairwell, patio decks. We have units out there that required roofing, AC, flooring.
Wall. Yeah, oh yeah.
So, you know, I mean, when you own property,
it's always,
it never ends. Yeah, I mean, you have the basic repairs and then you have the things, just like with your house, that you must do because nothing lasts always. Yeah. So we have that. And then, I talk about family units, and one gentleman, when I was presenting, he said, so, if it was just me and my wife, is that a family unit? I said, ooh, that's a good question. So I'm going to change my presentation. A family unit must consist of at least one adult and one minor age person. So it must be one adult and one youth or child. Only because the gentleman asked the question. That's an excellent question. So so we have family units. Right now our 2 bedrooms, it might go up a little bit, but right now they're about $625 a month, and that includes water. So we pick up the water bill, and the 3 bedrooms are $750 a month. We have a property manager, management company. They handle everything from the marketing application process to when you decide to leave.
And let me make sure I understand this correctly. The one unit is for 55 and over.
Right. For our seniors on 4th Avenue.
But now
that's permanent housing.
But what you're talking about here, this is for families.
Family
but
unit.
But you're describing a family as being at least an adult and an underage child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if it's the question that the gentleman asked you, it would be no.
Right. So if it's two adults, technically, we know it's a family unit, but it's must be a child.
In other words, if it's one person, it's no.
No.
Okay.
No. So,
but if they have a child mm-hmm. under age, which is under 18,
mm-hmm.
okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And, but so there is a fee for the housing, but it's very affordable.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's rent is $625 a month for a 2-bedroom, and right now it's $750.
And then they'll
for a 3-bedroom.
They will pay their own utilities.
They pay for their electric. We cover the water.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
it's you're not going to find that anywhere.
No. And how big are these houses?
It's a mobile unit.
Okay.
Basically, so you know, decent size. If it's a 2-bedroom, and if it's a 3-bedroom, it's just a little bit bigger. Decent size.
When you say it's a mobile unit,
mm-hmm.
is it one of these where they bring it in. They set it up. No, this still got the wheels on it.
Right. Okay. No. It's there. It's just like a almost like a mobile home.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Would the word modular?
Modular.
Work? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's more of a modular. Yeah.
That became popular. 30 years ago?
Yeah.
With the modular.
Yeah. It's a modular.
Basically, it's
unit.
A mobile home that's been brought in and made permanent.
Made permanent.
They took the wheels away.
Oh yes. Yeah. Right. It's a modular unit.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But those are nice. Mm-hmm. And so, the thing is, it's people who are looking for a place to live, $625 a month. That's pretty good. I mean, you know, it's hard for you and I to think, okay, a person couldn't come up with that much money a month, but there are people in that type of situation.
Yeah. Well, the market rate, honestly, for a 2-bedroom is going to be at the very low end, maybe basement end, is probably going to be about $1,000 or $1,100.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's a 2-bedroom.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if you go try to rent an apartment someplace like that, then you're also going to have, maybe you require this too, the first month's rent, last month's rent. Do you require all that?
Yeah, there are deposits that are required. We have some other requirements. We have a income requirement. There's a credit score requirement, but we don't. Usually when a unit is open, we don't have a big issue recruiting and securing a tenant.
Do you have any open now?
Right now, we should be feel that all of them are either filled or ready to be filled, but we have some units that are offline because we're working on them.
Got it. Okay.
So the offline units, you know, as soon as they come online, and we're doing about 4 or 5 at a time. So we have about the last 10 to 11 units that we need to do. But as soon as they come online, our property management company usually has someone because they'll have a waiting list and they can get people in there pretty quickly.
Now, you talked about the reentry program.
Right? Yes.
And when you first mentioned that to me, I said, are we talking about, because sometimes you think about people who have been on drugs, that sort of thing, and mm-hmm. they've gotten clean and now they're trying to get their life together.
Right.
I've heard that referred to as reentry.
Yes.
But you're talking about people getting out of prison.
Right. People coming out of prison. So we have men and women. So our women, there are 3 units set aside for women, also on a 4th Avenue campus.
Okay.
We can serve a total of 9. So we could put 3 women in each unit. Then we have 2 houses on 2 houses side. I mean, they're next door neighbors. On the northeast side of town, for our men, and we can serve up to 11. So 6 can be in one house and 5 in the other.
Now, I had a ministry here not too long ago that does something very similar. Mm-hmm. And their relationship with finding the people who are going to be in the reentry program is because they're involved in the prisons themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, are you all?
We have a relationship with the prisons. So we have a relationship with the Department of Corrections.
Okay.
So we go to correctional affairs. We get referrals often from, the correction officer or, sometimes it's even like a family member. Someone heard of us and they get word to the family, the person who is in prison. We go to the prisons. So, I mean, we go into the prisons and we do the fairs. We talk to them. We do presentations. We talk to them one-on-one. We do the interviews. And you mentioned the substance abuse aspect to it, and I know a lot of people wonder. I can say that 9 out of every 10 people entering the reentry program has a substance abuse risk.
Coming out of prison?
Coming out of prison. They have a substance abuse risk.
Really?
Meaning that they were on it. They may have been a dealer. Yet there is the myth that it doesn't occur in prisons, but having family members who work in corrections in other states, you know, it still exists.
And I've heard that too,
right?
Through the radio ministry, people tell me that.
Yeah, it still exists. But sometimes maybe they were in there for a while, and that was one of their vices going in. But then when they come back out. And they get back into
the temptation is just right there.
Yeah. Right. And so that's the other thing we often will shy away from, men or women coming back to Leon County because you're coming back to area that is familiar.
The old haunt, yeah.
And your friends are still here, family members. So I would say probably 9 out of every 10 are not from Leon County. And that's one of the things that others who work with them in prison, they'll say, look, don't go back to your buddies or, you know, where you're going to be close to buddies. And if they're doing the same things to turn their life around, you know, and your buddies, male or female, doesn't really matter. And like I said, there are going to be some challenges coming from prison back into the community. The world has changed over the last 10 years or 15, 20, 25 years. They may have been, incarcerated. So the world has changed. You have to acclimate to that. And then the stress of going from confinement and basically in being incarcerated to having a little bit more freedom.
Right.
So that can be scary. And then, you know, you're dealing with some of the other things, like trauma.
Sure. But here's the thing, I'm thinking about it, just hearing your ministry as it's being unfolded here before us. Mm-hmm. So like y'all have got several different aspects here. Mm-hmm. How many staff people do you have? It's just like you can be really stretched here.
Yeah, people are saying they must have about 20 staff people. Yeah. No. Excluding our contractors, contractual staff, we have, if we were to do FTEs, there would be 4.75, and there are 6 people. So there are 4 of us who are full time. There is a 20 hour person, and we have a 30 hour person.
Okay. Now, and all of these people's salaries are being paid by donations.
We receive revenue for rent.
Okay.
Or program fees for program participants, rent from seniors, and rent from the tenants out at Maryland Oaks Crossing.
Right. So you've got basically
grants, you're
collecting rent. Donations. You're putting money aside to be able to maintain the buildings and stuff, and been able to take a little bit out to put toward the budget.
You know, you know, as long as it's unrestricted, you know, every dollar that comes in, as long as that money's not restricted, you know, you're trying to make the money. And that is, honestly, to be very, very honest, when people hear, when I tell people rent at Maryland Oaks Cross is $625, I've had people look at me and they know I like to laugh and I like to joke. They think I'm joking with them because they hear $625 a month for a 2-bedroom. I'm like, no, I'm not joking. And they'll say, you need to raise the rent. Uh-huh. And I said, we just raised the rent. Now we're going to consider raising the rent because everyone knows that a 2-bedroom, $1,100 is the basement of the market value. And so, you know, there is the ministry side and the heart side. Oh. And then there's the business side.
Yeah, but ministry is what you're about.
Right.
But bills have got to be paid. I mean,
right. So, you know, when roofs cost $8,500 tonight, and you have to take that into account. But I learned, you know, being a pastor's kid, you learn that and you hear about that. And my mama's line is, she said, look, you know, I don't care how good looking you think you are, you can't pay with your looks. And so when the Bible says money answers all things, the way my mama would say it. And I said, because, you know, roofs, 8,500, HVAC systems, you know, 8,000 or 9,000. So if you don't, and this is really with any ministry, you don't have the money, then you could end up being in a situation where you can't provide ministry.
But you have people who donate monthly.
We do have people who donate. So we get donations, we get grants, and we have program fees and we have rent.
So what if somebody who may be listening today and they're hearing about this ministry says, hey, I want to invest in that. How would they go about doing that?
You know, the only thing they have to do, our office number is 850-692-3301. If you call the office and just say that, you don't even have to know my name. They'll say, oh, you need to talk to Shabal. So, you know, they'll take that information down. Our website is www.goodnewsoutreach.org. We made it real simple.
That's probably how people are going to reach out to you, especially if they're driving down the road. They don't remember that phone number.
Right.
It's goodnewsoutreach.org.
Mm-hmm. So if you say Good News Outreach Tallahassee, we pop up.
Can they give online?
They can give online. They can walk in and drop off a bag of money. They can write a check. Yeah,
that would make you suspicious. Where'd you get that bag of money from?
Yeah. It's sort of like church, right? You take money and and there are multiple ways. But yeah, so you can donate online. Like I said, you can walk in with a check. And we've had people walk in with a check.
And what about just getting involved? How can they do that?
You know, time, it's always the three T's, right? Time, talent, and treasure. So one of the things if you take the time out to pray, pray for everyone, pray for the board, pray for the people rendering the services, and definitely pray for the people who are receiving the services.
But are there ways to volunteer?
There are ways to volunteer.
You're distributing that food every week.
Right.
Somebody's putting all that stuff in those bags. So I would imagine there's a place right there people could help.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, one of our biggest needs, if you will, or I would say the greatest opportunity for you to put your knowledge, skills, and abilities to use in terms of ministry, we are looking for people who could work the food pantry. Yeah. I said we're open noon to two. It seems to be that noon to two time slot where we need more people. We're pretty good 9 to noon, but we need more people noon to two. And then we have the new slot in the evening, 5:30, 7:30. We just started that, but we're going to need more people there. And then the other thing that I mentioned, see, we deliver food to seniors. We need drivers. We need people willing to come, pick up the food, get your list, and deliver food to our seniors.
Now, the food they're delivering, again, is it a meal?
It's not a meal. It would be basically the same bag that is if you were coming into the pantry.
Okay. And are these pretty much the same people every week?
No, usually they will get it once a month. And so we have like fraternities, sororities, churches. We'll have groups of pockets, and they will deliver to different people.
Okay. So, but again, that's a way for people to volunteer.
It's another way to volunteer.
And I found that a lot of times people tell me, I'd like to be involved in something. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when people retire, then they find they're a little restless. And they want to do something to help. Well, here you go. This is an opportunity.
Plenty of opportunities. Yeah. We do not, now I will let, so that everyone knows, and I think this is probably good for people renting the services and receiving the services. All of us, volunteers, staff, we complete the application. We go through a background check. We do a background check with Leon County Sheriff's Department. People may have some on the record. We're like, okay, it's good. And we move forward. So everyone has gone through the screening process, because we're trying to protect everyone.
Right. Now, does this happen often? People volunteer?
It comes in waves. Uh-huh. What we're noticing, people want to do that one time thing. We're doing a community day of caring event. Right. So they want to do 3 or 4 hours, clean up something or do something for a day. We need people who can, commit whatever they can commit, especially with the food pantry during those times.
Yeah.
And sometimes, people may not be able to come every week. Maybe they do every other week. And we, like I say, just about scheduling.
But if they're helping with the food distribution, it would be at the 4th Avenue location?
4th Avenue location, 606 4th Avenue. It's a big white building. It's across the street from the 4th Avenue Market.
And it's Wednesday.
Wednesdays and Thursdays are the days that we distribute. Right. Tuesdays are days that we will often put bags together. So if you're a person that would want to say, I would want to help put bags together, you can do that. If you call the office or if you get the information off the website, you'll probably end up talking to Crystal Cromartie. She's our food program manager. She handles, that's her role to handle that.
And what would happen if they just showed up?
If they just showed up, then we have to do the application process in the background. Yeah. We have to do the background screening. And that normally, the truth is, we can probably, if you come in one day, we can go down and get the background screening probably then by the next day.
But they would have to have that done before they could pitch in to help.
Yeah.
Okay. Just clarification.
Oh, no, that's good. Yeah. We want to make sure that, everyone's covered, you know, and we do the right thing.
Right, right. But so the Good News Outreach Ministry is the food distribution.
Food.
Helping with the housing with people.
Housing.
And then the
reentry.
Reentry program.
Yeah. So those are the big three.
Those are the big three.
Mm-hmm.
And now, did I hear you mention that you all have a service there? Some type of. Because you said you go to your service.
Right.
Was that, did you like you go to your church or is this something you all doing there?
No, I go to another church. And ironically, three out of five of us in that office are clergy.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've got pastors, right. two pastors. And so, and that has come up, Bible studies. Another opportunity. Clergy, you want to teach Bible study? Maybe you don't get a chance to do that wherever you are. We have an opportunity for that. So we have people who are interested in, you know, receiving that. While we could do it, obviously if someone else can do it, then that brings someone else in, a different face, a different voice. And that's one of the things that we've been talking about.
Is this something you're doing or you're planning on doing?
That's something that's been in sort of the vision. We haven't gotten there yet.
Right. Okay.
Especially with some of our seniors, some of them have asked for that. So we're trying to move towards.
So this would be kind of like a service in a way.
Might be a service, might be a Bible study.
Yeah.
You know, I think we can, you know, we can, it could be definitely a combination thereof.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you would be ministering to the people who are in the housing there or just the neighborhood?
Matter of fact, for right now at 4th Avenue, it would be the people who are there. We have had conversations regarding offering some services to the people we serve and expanding it
right.
to some people in the community.
In the community, yeah.
Yeah, and matter of fact, we're working with this. We're trying to get this off the ground. There's not really an NA meetings held in that particular area. So there is a gentleman who, you know, was part of AA and NA.
Yeah.
And would love to try to have something in that community. I said, we would open up our doors for that. Cause while you're supposed to serve the community.
Yeah.
Right. And so while we would be serving the people we serve, we're in the community. We're going to serve the community too.
Right. And they used to have it was a homeless shelter around you there. And they would have services there for that community. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's closed now.
Right. So, a lot of those things. And we talk about it. We can think of probably six churches right off the top of our head within a mile of us. I mean, that you would, right down the street.
To think about it, a ministry like yours and Echo and these type of things, your ability to reach a segment of the community that sometimes churches just don't, it just doesn't work in churches. Mm-mm. Which would not, and I know it should, but it doesn't.
It doesn't.
You know,
it doesn't. We have a different way of, it's a different method of showing God's love and being able to communicate.
Yeah, but that's in the DNA of the organization from the very, very beginning.
Right.
You all and Echo both.
Right.
And I knew Toni Tran who started Echo, and I knew her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where you all are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to minister to people that the churches are not going to minister to.
Yeah.
That would be the benefit of having that type of service.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Glenn and Beth Burns that used to run the minister down there, they would have those meetings. They were winning people off the streets and stuff like that. And that is such a vital thing for a community.
Yeah, because like you said, everyone may not go to church for a variety of reasons, but they would come to something else.
But it takes a special people. I mean, I'm talking about the people who do this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
People who just love people, just love them, you know, like the scripture says, loving the unlovely, just loving them. Yeah,
yeah. And when you're in ministry, I am reminded of Mr. Rule. He was my history teacher in high school. He said the world would be perfect if it weren't for people. And I was like, Mr. Rule. You know, he broke that down. Now, as I got older, you get an understanding of what he what he meant by that. And so, you know, there are those times where we have to decompress.
Yeah.
Right. Jesus needed to get away, you know, because the people, yeah. you have to get away. And that's for everyone in ministry. You know, we think there's something wrong with us if we get a little frustrated or upset. But that's part of the norm.
That's being stretched.
Right. It's just
sometimes you can only be stretched so far.
That's just part of the norm. But, you know, and so we have ways that we might decompress.
Yeah. I remember the name of the minute, Haven of Rest.
Heaven. Yeah, Haven.
Haven of Rest used to be down there.
Yes.
And like I said, they would have services there in that back building back there. Mm-hmm. And it, like I said, I've had them on the radio show, and I've heard about these things and about people who are down and out, different things. A lot of times they'll come and they'll be ministered to at these services. Not only the physical aspect of being fed, but the soul's being fed as well. And it seems to me like that, like you were talking about, we were talking about the choirs that we don't have the choirs. We don't have that. We don't have the people who are just have that heart to work with people on the streets. And I just, when I hear them speak, my heart just goes, I can't believe this. They have such a heart for this. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. They have somebody, you know, maybe they come in, they may be a little intoxicated. They're they're all over them, but they don't mind because they love them. And so anyway.
Yeah. And those are the people who have that heart and that calling. It might not fit within the traditional church setting we think of, but you know, God needs them elsewhere and it fits there.
Well, let's just hope and pray that somebody listening to this broadcast today, they're that person. They're going to call you and say, Brother Briggins, I want to be that person.
Yeah.
And then y'all could provide a place for that in that community that's right there. And
it's a win-win. And they get that opportunity. They have that calling upon their life and they trying to figure out how to do it.
If you're that person, go to the website,
goodnewsoutreach.org. Yes, sir.
Well, it's time to pray. Sometimes when I get talking with people, Brother Briggins, I just get so caught up in it. I look at this clock and I go, wow. But the clock says we got to pray. So, Father God, thank you, Lord, for the ministry, Good News Outreach. Father, what they do, Lord, let them be successful. Father, let your anointing be upon them. Father, we pray for all of our churches here in Tallahassee, all of our pastors, for the services today in churches, Lord. Just let there be an anointing there. Father, we pray for peace in this world, peace in the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. I pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Brother Briggins, it's been good to have you on the show. It's always good to have you. We appreciate your ministry. Appreciate you.
Well, Pastor Jack, you know, appreciate what you're doing through your ministry and having on the show. We always have a good time. Amen. So
till next Sunday, good Lord bless you.